Australia Overnight with Pat Panetta. The crisis around youth suicide is a big issue that we need to deal with. There's a crisis brewing, especially in regional Australia, and a big reason for this is poor access to mental health services, which are stretched to the limit post-COVID. There's a feeling of hopelessness in these areas, which only is made worse when support can't be readily accessed. But Warren, our guest who you'll meet soon, he remains optimistic that the crisis can be fixed. And he joins us now, the unbreakable farmer on the line, Warren Davies. G'day, Warren.
G'day, Pat. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining us, mate. As I've mentioned there, an important topic to discuss and make better. Let's start with this research that's come out that talks about the suicide hotspots and what we've discovered through analysing these hotspots in regional Australia.
Well, there's a report come out by Telethon Kids Institute, and it identified 8 hotspots around Australia that as you said in your introduction, a lot of that is caused by lack of access to mental health services, and that's leading to a number of other problems within communities, particularly rural communities, with kids with substance abuse and all those things that go along with being, the youth of today's society. A lot of it's not their own fault, but it's just the way things are panning out.
Yes, and that lack of access, to have people there that you can pick up the phone, talk to, work through issues is vital. We need to be there for these young people.
And that's right, and that's one of the things, particularly in rural communities where services are thin on the ground, face-to-face access to mental health services is really crucial, and there's plenty of phone lines available, Lifeline and a number of other organisations that supply good services, but that face-to-face intervention is vitally important, and it's just not happening in rural communities, and the situation's getting worse.
And this is why you're talking to many people in the media, because you want to try to change that. There's a phrase here in this little blurb, mental health gatekeepers, and I like that, like a mental health gatekeeper. You need people on alert that are the gatekeeper. If things don't look quite right with somebody, to step in there and see what we can do.
Yeah, no, look, I get to travel around, lots of communities around Australia, sharing my story and sharing some tips and strategies. And one of those ones is being a gatekeeper, having at least some basic knowledge around mental health and how you can support someone. But obviously, mental health first aid is the next step. But so you can intervene, or if someone in your community needs someone to talk to, particularly in rural and remote communities where, population is not great, just someone can reach out and the kids have got someone to, sit down, have a chat with and work through their strategy. Their issues and give them some strategies to be able to move forward, and sometimes that's all it takes, is just someone to talk to.
Australia Overnight, our guest is Warren Davies, farmer and mental health expert, the unbreakable farmer. You mentioned there, Warren, that you often talk about your story. So you're the unbreakable farmer, so you went through tough times and you got through it.
Yeah, and look, my story, even though I'm called the unbreakable farmer, my story is more about being broken and some of the challenges that I face. And that's one of the things that really drives my mission. And that mission is about creating awareness and education around mental health and wellbeing in rural communities, but inspiring conversations and then empowering people to seek help. But I, got to really dark places and I really don't want other people to have to go through that situation. And one of the things that I did poorly was to reach out for help. But having people around you that can actually be there to support you is another thing, and having the services available. And particularly, and I know I've said it a number of times, but rural communities, whether it's youth or adult mental health, it's, wait lists and wait times are really, long at the moment. And one of the things I talk about in some of my presentations is, if you've worked up the courage, which, it took me a long time to work up the courage to reach out. Once you want to reach out to someone, you need someone to talk to. And, you know, and it can go either one of two ways. One is if you can't get the help that you need, you just internalize it and the problem gets worse, or unfortunately you become a statistic of, you know, suicide in our rural communities, and that's something that we really want to stop.
Yeah, yeah. What a good point. You build up the courage, you go through it all, and then you go to reach out, but especially in regional areas, there's no one there to help. So are we getting people from the city to move into regional areas? Are we training local people? How are we going to fix it?
Look, I think it starts at the grassroots. A lot of the issues that we face these days, I think, needs to, you know, go back to the grassroots level, and you know, training those gatekeepers within the community is one step, but obviously attracting mental health professionals and making that attractive to come to rural communities and work. It's you know, a very rewarding space to work in when you can really make a difference in someone's life. And we need to you know, obviously change the way we fund things and be able to get those mental health professionals to want to come to rural communities and stay there and become involved in the community and be that lifeline for those young people that are really struggling.
So you're lobbying government. Are you getting any sort of traction there? And I guess the message for some of our listeners, if you're thinking about helping in any way, training, can you be at any age? You sort of...
I think that for mental health first aid, I think it's either 16 or 18, anyone older. It's just like physical first aid. It's just learning the skills and strategies of, you know, learning, you know, what you need to look for, how you can, you know, support someone that is facing, you know, crisis in their life, and then also how to look after yourself, because that's really important as well, because in rural communities, you know, it's left... to, well, particularly with professionals, including, you know, our GPs, they take on a fairly big workload and you know, experience a lot of you know, stress themselves. So you need to be able to look after yourself as well. So that's where the mental health first aid comes in. But you know, by sharing my story and getting out in rural communities, that's what I'm hoping to bring awareness to, you know, this is what's going on, and hopefully shining a light on it. So, you know, the powers that be that make these decisions and you know, and fund a lot of these programs might take notice and lend an ear and hopefully change the situation.
Well, good luck, mate, as you do that. Yeah, sharing your story. You mentioned, you know, having a conversation. That's a theme that pops up a lot on this program when I speak to experts. That's the first step, or at least what we can do is talk about it, get it out there, and other people could feel comfortable about sharing it as well. You tell your story, you know, we talk about it on the radio, and hopefully we're helping other people to have the courage to talk about it, and that is the first step.
Yeah, and I think, look, I'm a great believer in doing what I do. By sharing my story, hopefully then gives other people permission to share their story, and it breaks down that stigma. So if someone is struggling, they don't feel embarrassed or need to hide, they can actually stick their hand up and say, look, I'm struggling here and I need some help. And that's where that grassroots support really comes into play, because if there's no access to a professional service in a small town or whatever, you need someone to talk to, and you know, you need a little bit of knowledge behind you know, an education behind you, so you can support that person that might be reaching out.
Fixing the youth suicide crisis in regional communities. We're discussing that topic with Warren Davies, a farmer and mental health expert. You know, you mentioned your story. This might help others. What was a bit of a turning point for you, Warren? Like, if I'm living with somebody I want to help, I know it's sort of like, how long is a piece of string? You know, every individual is different, but was there a turning point for you, or those people around you, to be patient for when you're ready to come out, or just keep an eye on you? What sort of did it for you that sort of took you to another level, and you finally sort of made that move to say that, say, look, I need help?
Yeah, and you've hit it, the nail on the head. Like, every situation's different, and that's one of the things. Like, there's some certain things that we need to look out for. And, you know, I was, you know, farming in the middle of the drought. I was spiraling out of control, and, you know, I think people around you either ignore or just, you know, not turn a blind eye, but just don't want to get involved. And that's one of the things that I, you know, talk about look out for the signs. So, you know, people mood changes, you know, if they're sad, they're angry, they're frustrated, or if they're isolating themselves is a really classic one. If, you know, isolation's the biggest killer in our rural community. So if someone's really isolating themselves away from something that they normally would do, you know, they're warning signs to be able to, you know, think, well, I need to start that conversation. But one of the really things that we would need to understand, and it's a really good point to understand, is that, you know, a lot of these conversations don't happen because we think we've got to be educated and we've got to have the answers. But sometimes just sitting down and listening to someone share their stories might be all they need just to get it off their chest so they can, you know, I suppose, let some air out of the balloon that feels like it's going to burst and, you know, be able to get a bit clearer ahead so then they can find the right path forward.
Right, so there's levels there. That's right. Somebody who just needs an ear to listen to, and you just got to show that compassion, or others that might need therapy and help over a certain period of time as well. So there's different levels of what is going on, yeah?
Yeah, correct. And like some people just need talk. But look, someone that needs therapy, someone, you know, you need to be able to support that person until they can get the help that they need. And, you know, and I talk about, you know, the support networks that are around us. And obviously that's our conversation, that some of them are thin on the ground. But if you are really concerned about someone's well-being and you think it's life-threatening, like there's the emergency services as well. Like there's a number of avenues that, you know, if you're concerned about someone's well-being to the stage where you think that they might self-harm or, you know, be in a dangerous situation, that you need to seek urgent and emergency help. Like, so that's one thing, because it's all about in trying to save lives what we're doing. But, you know, just being able to support someone until they can actually get in into some professional help is really important. And, you know, I always talk about, you know, checking in with people. You know, you start these conversations, or you might notice someone who's, you know, that's exhibiting signs and you've started that conversation. But the important step after that's to continue checking in them and don't leave them feel like they're isolated and they've still got no support. So building, you know, one of the key tools I talk about in my presentations about building your own mental health toolbox is understanding who your five people are and, you know, people that you can lean on. So if you do hit, you know, a crisis in your life or you're facing challenges that feel overwhelming, that you've got a support network that around you that you can lean on until you can actually get to that professional help.
I like that. Yeah, the mental toolbox and the framework to get through it. And, of course, we're talking about the individual who needs the help, but then, and you've pointed towards this, those around that person who, you know, it's tough for them too. Frustrating at times. You've got to be patient and compassionate, and people take two steps forward and, you know, five steps backwards. It really is tough on everybody. So, again, it's good we're talking about it and we're offering them support.
Yeah, it's two key skills I think everyone should try and develop, or if they've got them, you know, develop them further, and that's the skill of listening and the skill of empathy. We need to be empathetic and, you know, not judge people for their situation, regardless of what you probably, you know, your personal beliefs are. But if, you know, if you're a truly compassionate and empathetic person, you should be able to look through that and be able to support someone. You know, it's all about, you know, looking out for each other. And, you know, some of those the traits have slowly kind of disappeared from our communities a little bit. So we need to, you know, be looking out for each other. Like if the, you know, professional services aren't on the ground, we need to start building those, you know, resilient communities by building support networks within those communities at a grassroots level.
Challenge for all of us today to not judge, be more empathetic and more compassionate, and really, you know, try to help those around us. We'll put that on the list today. And to say, you sort of practice every day. And me included and all our listeners, yeah, to not judge and help everybody. Good luck, mate, with your cause. Keep sort of rattling politicians and whoever else to make sure we help those, especially in regional areas. And good luck with it all. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Pat. Thanks for the time this morning. Cheers.
Warren Davies on Australia Overnight.